Well, it's good to be here today. Good to share the Word of God. I trust you've had a good few days. We've enjoyed our time, and we want to say thank you for having us. But it's not finished yet. It's probably meeting-wise at about halfway through. So there's a work to be done today and tomorrow. Can we say amen?
Amen.
You been enjoying the Word?
Yes.
Touch of the Spirit?
Yes.
Yes. What have you learned? What's anybody learned? That's great. Somebody else? Sorry? Grace. About grace. Somebody tell me about grace. Sorry? It's more than enough. It's undeserved. I didn't catch that. Wow, so he gave it up for us? For just for us? Wow. For all? Wow. Anybody got any friends going to hell?
Only enemies.
Wow. We need to, we're their answer. The Christ in us is their answer.
Amen.
Something else about Christ. You're going to say something, Jane.
It's
God-given ability. Yes. Huh? We're kept by grace. Wow. Wow. Isn't that great? Aren't you grateful for His grace?
Amazing grace.
That's one of my favorite hymns. Amazing. We should sing that. We're going to do it later on. We're going to do that. Oh, we perhaps should sing it now. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. Anybody ever feel like you're a wretch? Good boys all your life, haven't you, guys? I've been a good boy all my life. I could never understand why Dad had to smack me. Smack me. Belt me. God is good. We've opened our hearts in our time of worship. We just want to receive something from Him. I'd like to minister a bit of the Word, but we'll just kind of work with the Holy Ghost this morning. Is that okay? Are you happy with that? Pentecost. Today's Pentecost? Oh, we should go to the book of Acts then. Why don't we try and reproduce what he did before?
Just keep going, brother.
Just keep on going. We're doing okay. Just keep moving along, eh? Day of Pentecost. Holy Spirit came. Sound of a rushing wind. Wow. Imagine that coming in here right now. I mean, do you think we could stop for it? He's inclined to upset our program. So we could just hold him back till we're finished? Well, it's the norm. But I don't have anything I want to do other than just minister and flow with the Holy Ghost. So if he wants to come on in the wind, if he wants to come in a fire, he's quite welcome. Fire of the Spirit. I saw some photos recently. Somebody taken some digital photos at an altar call. And there's no exaggeration on this. There was fire in the room. And there were tongues of fire that were sitting on heads of people. It was caught in the photo. People couldn't see it. You can't always see what God is about. But as you wait on Him, you can pull out that which you don't see into that which you can see. Abraham was a bit like that. And that's for us today. God is a great God. He's a friend. He's your Redeemer. He saved you. He saved me. He empowered us. And then said, go and change the world. Well, if you were to read through your Bibles into Romans chapter 8, you'd come across a scripture that says something like this. And God predestined. Everybody say predestined.
Predestined.
What's that mean?
Organized beforehand.
Organized beforehand. That's good. Anybody else? Predestined. Chosen beforehand. Decided beforehand. Predetermined. Something that's been prepared ahead of time. Think about this for a moment. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. He sees the end from the beginning and he sees the beginning from the end. He's already been there, both ends. He looked down through time when he created the earth and he created you and he created me. He looked down through time and he began to think about what was going to be the things that are going to happen in certain times of history. Because he saw it all from both ends. He saw where we are today in 2009. And he wondered, I wonder who I should place. Who I should predetermine that should be alive and living in those days. Days when the world is going to change. Days when there's going to be incredible conflict. Days when there's going to be persecution against the Christians. When there's going to be martyrdom will become part of the norm for the Christian life. And he looked down through time and there he saw you. And he saw me. You've been predetermined to be at this time of history. Some of the men of old desired, they said things like, we've been born out of our time. They probably desired to be in our time, particularly as they had revelation truth that helped them to see and understand a little bit more about the end time that we're still struggling to try and understand and to comprehend. But God knew. He knew that the world was going to start to shake today. He knew that the finances of the world were going to start to shake. He knew that the governments of the world were going to start to have conflict one against another. He spoke about it. He wrote it in Matthew chapter 24. He said, these are the things that are going to happen in our time. And then he saw you. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, he saw you. And he ran away. No, he didn't. He saw you and he thought about what do they need to be able to handle what they're going to experience at this time. He poured out his Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago to enable the disciples, the apostles, to become those apostles of the establishing of the church. They did signs and wonders. They did all of that. But they weren't born for this time. They were born for that time. We've been born for this time. We so quote the scripture, don't we, from Esther. It talks about this time. You've been born for such a time. I wonder whether we really believe that we've been born for this time. Doesn't matter about your age, you're in this generation to touch this generation and to turn this generation to God. You've been born now because you are a man and a woman of strength and endurance. And what you haven't learned of that, you're learning now through tests and trials that we don't like and want to escape and get out of and wonder if God is really with us. But yes, he is. James comes up with the clever words and he says, rejoice. Yes, get excited. When you go through trials. Anybody going through trials this morning?
Yes,
yes, I see it on your face. Yes, yes, yes. Give me more. No, give it to them. Give it to them. I need some more. Because the trials and the testings of your faith worketh endurance. God is trying to put backbone into us. Not for us to turn from a fight, but to stand and to destroy the opposing spirit that would come against the faith today. To stand in prayer, to stand in the gap on behalf of those today that are being persecuted and are losing their lives for their faith. We stand in prayer for them. There are many. I met my friend. I have a friend in real estate in Hamilton. He's just been over to Malaysia. He comes from Malaysia. He's an Asian Kiwi. He says, no, I'm not. I'm a Chinese Asian Kiwi. I'm a Chinese Malay Kiwi. That's what he is. Yeah. And he's just been over to KL. I don't know that you'd want to live there. It's a corrupt political system. It's anti-Christian. People are still being put out of their homes as soon as they are become a Christian. They've got to renounce the family. The family have got to renounce them. They've got to disown them, or the whole family suffer the consequences of one family member becoming a Christian. They're going through incredible persecution, which we don't enjoy in this country. And you would say, thank God for that. But we can stand with them. We can pray with them. We can encourage them. We can send them resources. We can be with them. It was like that in China many years ago. I can't remember the statistics today, but there are millions of people who are saved in China today, even through the time of persecution. When did the church, the early church, really start to spread its wings and be fruitful? When it came to persecution. Wow, we're so complacent sometimes. Our trial is a big thing to us. The difficulty that we walk through is a big thing to us. And I'm not wanting to demean that. I understand that. I understand the cry that comes from the heart that says, oh God, except you do something here, I don't know how I can cope. Except you break in on this, I don't know how we're going to finish. But you see, he says this, you are saved by grace. By his favor, his ability, him and his ability to influence our hearts. We're saved by his divine grace through faith. So our walk is a walk of faith. Born for such a time as this. Not born for Esther's time. Not born for Peter's time. Not born for Moses' time. Not even born for Noah's time. But as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in these days. There was the preaching of the word. There was faith. There was the receiving of the word. There was the rejection of the word. There was the mocking of the word. And for 100 years, Noah preached as he built the ark. Imagine an ark going up the size of that ark in your neighborhood while somebody stood up every morning and preached the gospel to you for 100 years while you built this thing and you took no notice. See, he's mad. He is mad. I mean, why build an ark? There's no rain. Why build an ark? There's nothing to float it on. This guy's nuts, man. As it was, so it will be. There was salvation in his day. Saved Noah and his family. Everybody else could have been saved, but they mocked him. What's the difference today? There's no difference. God said that wickedness on the face of the earth was so bad then that he wished he never made man. And we look at what's going on in the world today and we kind of say, man, I don't know how we're going to cope with this stuff. It's just coming around again. But are we ready for it? I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you to lift your eyes beyond the level of the trial or the testing that you are experiencing and experience in life, to understand that he's with you in it. And then he says this after all of that. He says, look, I know and I understand and I see. He said, when it gets too tough for you, I'm actually going to make a way of escape. Amen. It's like being in this room here and there's no exits. Everything's closed in. There's nowhere to go. And all of a sudden, as a fire comes in the building, he said, get out, get out. Where do we go? Where do we go? There's nowhere to go. We're not going to sit in it. Then we pull back a curtain and we find there's an exit. And we get out. And we're saved. That's what the trials are like in our life. When we can't cope, you say, I'm going to make a way of escape for you. Wow. Isn't that great? Aren't you pleased about that?
Oh, no, I'm still going through this trial. There's not really a lot of help to me.
I understand. Some of you have got a real weight on your shoulders this morning. It's a burden. And it's come, it sits on you. Some of the experiences that you're experiencing right now, it's like you're yoked by this thing. It sits upon your shoulders. It's a heavy burden. Is that right? Yes? Just raise your hand for a minute. It's like you. Yeah, absolutely. Raise your hands. Stand up for a minute. Just stand up. It's all right where you are. Doesn't matter. I don't want to know what it is. The scripture says this. The anointing breaks the yoke. So I'm going to pray for you this morning. And I'm going to pray specifically right now that the anointing of God, what is the anointing? That's the power of the Holy Spirit is going to break the yoke of that thing that's yoked upon your life, that's weighing you down and taking from you the ability to experience that liberality and the freedom in the Holy Ghost. Is that okay? Would you like to do that? Would you like to break the yokes this morning? Those around you, body ministry, hands on these ones, let's pray. Somebody lay hands upon, just stand, it doesn't matter, move somewhere. Lay hands upon these people. Hallelujah. So let the power of God this morning, it's his work. Yes. Take my yoke upon you. For it's not burdensome, but it is light. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just, from the anointing of God, and remind you of your word. You said, this is what you said, that your anointing would break the yoke of the oppression that sits upon our life. Then I, on the command of your word and on the promise of your word, I break the yoke on these lives this morning. Whatever that is that's weighing them down and bringing them into oppression, some into depression, I just break the yoke in the name of Jesus. Let them go free. And let the liberty of the Holy Ghost be their experience. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. It's very quiet. I don't like quiet church. But I don't like the noisy rock and roll. I like the rock and roll, but I mean, I don't like the noisy stuff that blasts it right out. I went to a big conference and it was at the other end like a football ground, and the music was so loud my whole body just kind of vibrated. I mean, vibrated. I don't like that. But I like good worship. You can have that as loud as you like. As long as we're connecting with God. Some changes coming for your life, sister. Yes, God is developing something fresh in your heart. It's like there's people coming knocking at your door, looking for some help and some support. And you're on the other side of the door saying, but what can I give? I mean, who am I? I don't have the answers. No, but he does. So he's just kind of, he's working a little bit inside you there. Is a scripture, and I just remind you of this scripture. I think it's a powerful scripture. It says, as in Timothy, it says, study to show yourself approved as a workman, rightly able to divide the word of truth. As we take the word of God and, could I use the word, consume it, read it, study it, from that we learn how to carve it up, if you like, so that it fits different situations, people's lives. There's some women that are in real despair that seem to be coming, and they're looking for an answer. In their minds and their lives, they seem to consider that you've got an answer. Maybe they've seen or they've heard what the gospel's all about that's in your life and your testimony, because they read you like a book. We are a book read of men. We are the only book of the Bible that they read until they get saved. So don't be anxious. God's just doing something fresh in your life, and he's preparing you for something new. You may be an instrument in the hands of those who are knocking at the door. Yes. It's got to be good. It's wonderful. And there's a man over here that stood a moment ago. Yes, sir. Have you been at the conference, or you just come this morning? You were here last night. It's great to have you here. You're a local man. From Canberra. Australia, Canberra. Wow, that's wonderful. I'm in Melbourne, but I'm a Kiwi Melbourne. I'm actually a joint citizen now, so I'm an Aussie and a Kiwi. Until the All Blacks come on the field. This is going to be a new season for you. I don't know what you're involved in there in Canberra, but it's like God is creating, if I could capture a scripture here for you, so you can follow this through. It's Revelation 3. He said, I'm going to open some doors for you, which no man will shut. And I'm going to shut some doors. That's where you are right now. I'm going to shut some doors that no man is going to open again. God's changing some aspects of your life. There's a bit of a refocusing here. It's like you've been taking a singular direction, like driving a car down a road. You all of a sudden, there's a detour. Well, it's like you've got to that point. Where's this detour going to take me? That's your confidence now and your faith in God to know that he knows what he's doing, but he's changing things. Things are changing around you, starting to shake, and things are shaking loose. But in all of that, it's because he's doing something new for you. You married? You got family? No? Something new is coming for you. God bless you, bro. Good to see you this morning. Hallelujah. I thought last night, before I went to sleep, I'd just watch a bit of the football. And I saw Waikato win. And then I come in here this morning and somebody over here told me it was an old game. What a crook. You can go and make the coffee. Oh, my goodness. And we lost. Just as well I didn't know that before I went to sleep. I'm so sorry about that. Anyway. Well, come with me over to the book of Corinthians, would you? Corinthians. Maybe we'll go to Romans first on the way. Romans chapter 4, if we can. Here just telling us, it's great to be with you, incidentally. We've come over from Melbourne. We have a family. We have five daughters. They produce 14 grandchildren. One's not married yet. So I don't know how we're going to get on when more come. Christmas is so expensive. And so noisy. But we like to have it at their house, because by the end of the day, the house is wrecked. And I'd rather it be theirs than mine. We have established a trust in New Zealand and Australia called Our Father's House. Our Father's House is Father's House is a word taken from the scriptures when Jesus said, "I must be about my Father's business." The word business there means I must be about the affairs of my Father and what he wants to do, which is about the kingdom of God. And then he talks about my Father's house. And so we've established our Father's house, which is for resource, training, developing, equipping, getting people ready for ministry. That doesn't mean to say pulpit ministry. It means being able to share the gospel. It means when there's somebody on the street that's sick or is in desperation or whatever it is, that they can sit there and minister to them without waiting for church service to come next week. They can show the power of God where they are in their workplace when people are going through difficult times because you're their answer. So a Father's house is an equipping center. It's an empowering. Powers people do the work that we're called to do in the hour that we've been placed and in the time of history that God has chosen for you and I to be here. It's to help you be resourced and encouraged to do the work. There's a brochure over there if you'd like to take it before you go home. It'll just help you to see that. If you want to be part of any of that, just send me an email. Love to keep you up to date with what's going on. Material that we write. I write material continually. Because I like study? No. Because the saints need. One of the greatest lacks that's in the church today is teaching. Because we've thrown it out. Threw the Holy Ghost out first. He was a nuisance. And we've thrown the word out because it takes too long. And we turn it into an entertainment center because we like to be entertained. And we think the world does. The world doesn't need any more entertainment. It needs the power of God to shake it out of its entertainment. Are you with me here? That's a little bit of my heart. I probably shouldn't start or shouldn't go any further. But that's who we are. That's our Father's house. And that's what we're about. Here it's got in the book of Romans. Are we there now? Romans 4. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to the seed through the law. In other words, Paul, I don't know whether you're aware of this, but Paul had a lot of problem with the apostles, the disciple apostles. Peter, John, Matthew, Mark, all of them. He had a real trouble with them. Paul kind of eyeballed Peter on some occasions because when the Gentiles were getting saved, Peter was trying to put the law onto them. And said, well, now that you're saved, the first thing you need to do is to be circumcised. That's part of the law. No, not the new law, it's not. It's the circumcision of the heart. But Peter went about and he spoke to them about, this is what you now need to do. So they hadn't freed themselves from the law of Moses. So if we're saved under the law, we live by the law. Are you with me? But we're not saved by the law. We're saved by Christ, the shedding of his blood, the giving of his life. He redeemed us. He paid a price. And he saved us to set us free. Are you with me here? Jeff said last night, you've got the law or you've got the grace. What do you want? Peter was trying to say, live under the law to experience grace. Paul says, if you've got grace, you don't need the law. See, the law was a failure. The scripture says the law, Moses' law, that's what they so got caught up on and still caught up today. He said the law of Moses was weak in that it could not save man. And therefore the law became a schoolmaster to turn people to the coming Messiah, which was Christ. And then when Christ came, he said, I've got a new and a living way for you today. It's not going to be through the law, but it's going to be the shedding of my blood. I'm going to be the sacrifice. I'm going to die for your sins. I'm going to take the weight of sin of the world. I'm going to take it upon my shoulders. And it's going to kill me. And my Father is going to turn his face from me because of the sin of the world that is upon me. But when I'm done, I'm going to rise above it all, and I'm going to give you a new and a living way. Not a dead way, but a living way. Yes, hallelujah. We used to sing that. It's a new and living way. You see, I can sing. Did you? That was in tune. It's a new and living way. Walk ye in it. Was that in tune?
Of course it was.
It's a new and living way. And they could not accept the new and living way, so they put him on the cross. That's what they thought of a new and living way. However, he proved them, because he did get up and he rose from the dead. What separates our God from all the gods of the world today? Buddha's dead. And he's still in his tank, whatever he's in. Every god of this world, when it dies, is dead. Jesus rose again. It's pivotal to our faith. And theologians today would want you to believe there was no resurrection. If there's no resurrection, then the word of God is a lie. And the theologians want us to believe that there was no virgin birth. How can you conceive without a man? They wipe it out. So the virgin birth is gone, the resurrection is gone, so the new and living way is gone. So what do we got? We got the law. Can the law save us? No. But Jesus can. It's a new. Paul had a conflict. Wherever he went, he came across those who wanted to propagate the law. He wasn't saved under the law. He was saved by a revelation of God who touched him on the way to persecute the Christian church. So he's helping us to understand here now. Abraham, the seed, promises not through that. Didn't come through the law, but it came through righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, then faith is made void or empty or no, with no purpose. And the promise is made of no effect. Because the law works wrath. And where no law is, there is no transgression. Then he gets into this. Therefore. Everybody say therefore. That's what it's there for. Therefore, it is of faith. Everybody say faith. Can somebody help me to understand faith? Say that again.
Forsaking all, I trust him.
Forsaking all, I trust him. Yes? Believe in something you don't see. Oh, that's a challenge to the mind. How does the head accept something that doesn't exist? Oh, so we're not saved by the mind then. Trusting God for everything. Faith is belief. Faith is believing. Faith is that without any shadow of doubt, you believe in something that you will give yourself to, even though it does not exist for you right now. That's faith. How do we live? By faith. The just shall live by faith. So let's amplify that. The just shall live by believing on the word of God, believing that what he says he will do, has done, and can do, he actually will do, even though it does not appear. Wow, that was good. Can we have a replay on that? Anybody get that down? You got that? That's wonderful.
Just missed it.
Oh, so we are saved today is therefore by faith, therefore by belief, therefore by being persuaded, therefore by accepting, therefore by believing what God said is, even though it isn't. Not mine. It's not the mind. You can't work this out in the mind. This is spiritual. It's spirit. God is spirit. We are first spirit beings. When you die, what stays? What goes? Your spirit. You're not sure about it? Go and have a look at a dead body before it gets up. Therefore, it is faith. that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. That is written, I have made you a father of many nations, before whom you have believed, even God, who quickened the dead. Let me say, quickened the dead. And he called those things which be not, that don't exist, as if though they did. Is that what it says? They called those things that did not exist as if they were. That's where God works. And he's trying to get us into that realm. Jesus got, I suppose, a little frustrated at times. He said, I don't know. I wonder if I will find faith on the earth when he returns. Wow. And this is with, when he's with all his mates. I don't know about this faith. See, our walk is a walk of faith. It is not by natural sight. It is not by the reasoning of the mind. It's by the believing of his word. Are you with me? And he goes on a little further then. He says, who, now talking again about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. I hope this will happen for me this week. What? I hope it'll be a better week. I hope these things will go away. And then he believed in that hope until it became his reality. So he says, who against hope? He believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Why? Because God spoke to him. He said, Abraham, you are going to be the father of many nations. That's great, God. That's an incredible word. Thank you. I'm actually 90 years of age. I've got no kids, and you're telling me I'm going to be this great father. Tell me a bit more about this. This is where he is. He became a father of many nations. He's out there chasing sheep. According to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. What seed? There's no seed. Ain't got no kids. And no married kids. Who's going to have a seed here? I'm about to die. No. 90 years. Oh. And my wife, I mean, she's older than me. She's more dead than I am. Could you imagine yourself in this? Just wind the clock on a few years and put yourself at 90. See if you can even talk, let alone have your teeth rattle. You go, oh, God bless you, yes! And he believes God. Wonderful man. It's great to have you, bro. That is wonderful. And then he says in verse 19, and not being weak in faith, not being weak in believing, not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. He didn't see himself as a dead man. He saw himself as a living man. He didn't consider that though he was aged, that the word of God coming to him could not yet be fulfilled. He just didn't know how it would be. So instead of trying to work it out, he decided he would believe God. And he would live according to the righteousness of God that God required of it, and which was accounted to him as faith. He considered now that his body was not, when he was yet about 100, or he's 100 years old. And neither yet in the deadness of Sarah's womb. Sarah's womb, my goodness me, she's been dead for years. Can Can you imagine us in here? It was dead. Sarah's womb dead. But he considered that it was still alive. There was still life in this young lady. And he staggered not at the promises. He staggered not. Wow. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. There was no unbelief in his heart. It is wonderful. This is the only way that he would be this father of Nacy. He had to believe this stuff. Amen. He was on his way out. There was no way to fulfill it. But he was strong in faith. Remember earlier on, isn't it? Didn't God say that he was a friend? That Abraham was his friend? And what's the New Testament say? It says the Holy Spirit is our friend. Is there any difference? Still God. He's our friend. We're finding it hard to believe. Ask him to help you. Believe his word. One of the people confronted with Christ, he said, "Help my unbelief." He didn't say, "Give me more unbelief." He said, "Help my faith. Increase my faith. Help me. I want this. I want this so bad. I just so want it. But I just can't see it happening. So help my unbelief. Exchange it for some faith. Help me to believe that what you said is, even though it's not. Help me to close down my mind and my argument of mind that says I must see before I believe. Yes, Thomas, you can go in the other room now while I talk to those who will believe me." He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and he was fully persuaded. Everybody say fully persuaded. That's part of faith. Fully persuaded, without any shadow of doubt, that when God speaks, it will be. But it might take a little bit of time. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able, he was able, he was able. God was able to perform. I'm trying. Oh, am I not doing too well here? Am I getting anything through? You can take over now. Here. Just start at 21. Then you can go to Hebrews 11. That's faith. Then you can dismiss them. Lunch is nearly ready. Yes. So giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him as righteousness. Wow. Are you fully persuaded today that what God has promised he will do, even though it hasn't yet happened? Are we fully persuaded when God said that at this time of the age there was going to be incredible harvesting of souls? Do we believe it though we don't see it? Do we believe the promise that he's given to us of the things that are going to happen at the end of the age, that we should fear not but be comforted, knowing that the Holy Spirit with us is going to help us? I mean, do we believe as in the days, even in Israel, when they came out of Egypt and they were set free? They walked out, they had to believe. They had to believe not just Moses, they had to believe God. But where did Moses come from? Let me help you with this. Moses was in the backside of the desert. Some of us feel that's where we are half the time. minding his own business, chasing his sheep, and he sees a fire. But he keeps on about his business. And half an hour later, when he sits down to have his cut lunch and his flask coffee, he sees this fire still burning. Oh, that's interesting. I just finished my lunch, I might go and have a bit of a browse. And so he takes a walk over and he sees this fire. Wow, that's interesting. Wow. It's been burning half the day and the tree's not even consumed. It's just not going out. I found oil. Yes! It was only gas. So he got up close and then this big voice comes out of the fire. Take your shoes off. Where did that come? Take your shoes off. It's holy ground. So he takes his shoes off. Doesn't know what he's talking to. Fire's talking to him. It's about as Balaam with his donkey. I mean, ever had a tree talk to you? Pop out in the garden this afternoon. See what it says to you. Then this voice says, "Want you to know something, Moses. I come from heaven today. I heard a cry coming from my people in Egypt. And when I heard their cry, I looked down and I saw their affliction. And I noted the oppression that they're living in. And because they cried unto me and I saw the oppression," he said, "I've actually come down from heaven to answer their cry." God will always answer the cry of his people. And then he turned to Moses and said, "So now you go and set them free." Me? I can't even talk. I'm not worried about what you can do, nor what you can, or what you can't. I'm saying to you, Moses, there's a need for my people to be delivered. They're not going to live like this anymore, and you are the man that I'm sending to bring deliverance. Well, how will I do that? I've been chasing sheep for 40 years. I go back to Egypt. They know who I am. They'll lock me up. They'll slay me because that's what I did. That's what I ran from. Have you ever ran from something? God will always take you back to it. Face up to it. If it's a giant, face it. Bring it down. It's faith. It's God. So Moses went through this debate. God went back to heaven. And on he went. What do I say when I get there? Just say, I am sent you. Oh, that's great. That's quite intelligent. I'm here today, Israel. I'm here to tell you that God knows what's going on. He's heard your cry. And he sent I am to me. And he told me to tell you that I am. It's come to set you free. So I'm here to do it. So follow me and we're moving on. And of course, they all packed up quickly. Just like the saints today. You sure about this? I mean, how are you here for God? I mean, he's a bit delusional. He's been out of the paddock for 40 years. The guy's nuts. And the scripture says, the Egyptians so blessed them. They despoiled them. They gave them all the gold, gave them the silver. They gave them all that they would need to go on their journey. And then some of them pitched in and went with them. You know the tragedy of that to me? We can learn from this today. That when they hit a hard spot in the wilderness and thought God had forsaken them and their leader had forsaken them, he's gone for another one of his walks. And he's not come back. Aaron led the people and made themselves a golden calf. What did they make a golden calf out of? What the grace of God had put, had given to them by influencing the Egyptians to spoil them with all that they had. And the best they could do is to turn it into another god. We had a lot of that going on in the world today. We need to see that when God gives us something, he's given it to us because there's a reason. And it's a resource to be able to be used. There's too many people today that have taken what God has given to them and turned it into something that's become an idol in their life. Can be many things involved in that. I've spoken to hundreds of businessmen, probably thousands. If I had have noted every promise that was given when they were in their place of despair and what they would do for God if God was to pick them up out of their failure, if I could use that, I don't like that word, out of their despair, out of their seeming everything's falling apart. And to see them today and find them that they're so prospering, the blessing of God upon them, and they won't even walk in a church. It is an absolute disgrace. They don't deserve. They do deserve to be back where they were. If I had received every dollar that had been promised as a consequence to the blessing of God, I would never have to work in the world system ever again. I would just be self-sufficient. But it doesn't happen. But God says, honor your vows. God does not forget. Do you want to say something, sir?
Yes, I believe that gold and silver was meant to build the tabernacle, and it was used to make the calf.
Made the calf. So they aborted what God wanted to do and substituted it for something else. Is the church short of money? Well, it speaks as though it is. Is the church broke? The mentality. Poverty is a mindset. Need to understand that poverty, people talk poverty. Too many people in New Zealand think we're poor. We're poor because we think we're poor. Poverty is a mental condition. It is, it's true. If people talk and live in poverty, it's because they want to be there. Are you with me? Huh? That's good. A million will do. Thank you. Bless you. Are you with me here? So we need to see that God will perform his word no matter what happens. Now, Paul, this man that we're talking about, and seems to give us all this encouragement in relation to faith and so on in our life and what we should or should not do. We've seen in the last few days that he found that God in his life was sufficient. He could do all things. God was sufficiency. He would be sufficiency in all things that he had done. And then he comes across to Corinthians chapter 12. If we could just focus here just for a moment, that we'd be encouraged by this man. This man was no saint. He was converted, but he had a lot of baggage. Could you imagine the mind of Paul after killing, murdering, imprisoning all of this with Christians, and then he becomes one of them? Could you imagine what's in his head? I dare to think. And then he comes up with all these great comments. In verse 1 of chapter 12, 2 Corinthians, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions, I'll come to revelations a little later on. But I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether he was in the body, I don't know. I can't tell. Whether he was out of the body, I can't tell that either. But God knows. Such a one, I was caught up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I can't tell. God knows." Second time, in case we didn't get it the first. "Now that he is caught up into the paradise, and I heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter." That's interesting. I wonder what they were. Can't tell you. Because I don't know. I don't know where I was. Were they in the body? I was there. But I don't know anything about being there, but I was. "Of such a one will I glory, Yet of myself I will not glory, but I will glory in my infirmities. Well, you get excited because you're going through hell? Come on, Paul, give it better than that. And so Paul says, sit down, listen to me, I've not finished yet. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he is of me. In other words, they thought this guy was a pretty smart cookie. A smart preacher. He was good. He was clever. He had revelations from God that probably men of many ages desired to experience. But Paul had them. This murdering crook, persecutor. I don't want you to glory in me. It's not about me. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations that I've received, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Everybody say a thorn in the flesh. And turn to your wife and say, and that's not you. Whoops! It was given me a thorn in the flesh. He was a messenger from Satan. And he was given to buffet me, to knock me around, to remind me who I was, to remind me who I am, to remind me that there's nothing worthy in me that should be considered or exalted or gloried in. There's nothing about me. Don't glory in me because God has chosen to give me some revelations that you might want to have, but I've had. Don't glory in that. Don't look at me, Paul says, as though I'm some kind of great special person. I'm a crook. I'm a murderer. I'm a liar. I'm a persecutor. So don't glory in me, but make sure you glory in him, because he gave me these revelations. So he says, Satan, there's a messenger from Satan. Well, give him a thorn. That word thorn in the Greek literally means a prickle, something to keep pricking me continually, to annoy me or to disable me physically or morally, to remind me of my frailty, to physically afflict me, to remind me that I am nothing special. How'd you like one of those walking with you every day? Yeah, down the road, you're starting to feel really good. Well, it's a great day. And old Nick comes along to your side and he says, oh, you blimmin' miserable creature. You're a failure. You're a has-been. You never was any good. You're useless. Remember all those things that you did in the past? You remember all that stuff? Well, that's you. I mean, that's who you are. You're an absolutely flip-out. Who do you think that you are to speak as Christians? Who do you think you are? Anybody ever had anything like that? Now, tell them to flick off. Just tell them to go to hell prematurely. Fire's burning, needs a bit of more fuel. Send some demons down. So incidentally, hell was never made for man. You know that, don't you? It was actually made for the devil and his angels. But man who reject God is going to go and join him. So don't let's be a follower of him. He's a god. Satan is a god. He only ever wanted to be God. Right in the very first place, he said, I'm going to be as God. God said, no, you're not. Flick off. So he said, well, you'll see. And he's made himself a god on earth. He's the prince of the air. He rules in principalities and powers, rulers. He said to Christ, the audacity to say, if you just bow down to me, I'll give you any kingdom of the world that you want. It's been given to me to give to whosoever I will. So come on, Jesus. You want the world back? Come on then, bow down to me. Don't you tempt me, you frickin' devil. God said. Tell him that God said. Every time the devil gets in, you tell him, God said. But you need to know what God said before you can tell him what God said. Just back to the word. We've made a lot of Christians lazy in church. and don't bring their Bibles. So what are they writing? I mean, this is my life. It's got writings all through it. I want to know when God spoke to me, I go back to the back. I want to know when God's speaking about a subject, then I go to the subject. I go to my index and I find out what he spoke about. I found out what I studied about it. I found out what part of that belonged to me, what part of it I prepared to give to somebody else, and where I gave it to, and who I gave it to, and what church I spoke it with, and who I encouraged with it. And then I take it to myself. If you get sick of this one, go and pick up another one and read. You want to know about my life? Go and pick up my 8 Bibles. And it'll tell you all about it. And they're preserved. They're kept. This one's being preserved now. I'm weaning myself out of it. So that it's good enough to still look back and see what God said. We come to church without a Bible. We walk out. Did you know that you forget? You do not remember 80% of what you hear? So what part of this morning are you going to remember? Come on. The who?
The DVDs.
Yes! Oh, that's Noel. Noel's got those. Yes. Make sure you share them around. We need our Bibles. If you can't write in them, throw it away and buy yourself another one that you can write in and write all about God speaking to you. Study it. Maybe you're going to need this. Let me say that again. In the days that are coming, you're going to need this like you need no other book. You're going to need it because this is the basis of your faith. Yeah. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the word of God. This is the book of faith. This is the armor of God. This is the sword of the Spirit. This deals with the devil and every opposing spirit. I'm trying to get it out. Time's running out. Lunch is nearly ready. Got to get all these things through. Oh, well, why don't you hurry up? Okay, let's get back. A thorn of the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Oh, lest I should be exalted above measure. Lest men think that I'm more than what I am. For this thing, I actually besought the Lord. He was so serious about it. He said, I went and fasted and prayed. 3 times I went to God to say, I can't deal with this thing anymore. Get it off me. He says, no, I need to keep reminding you who you are. And God spoke to me concerning these 3 times. And he said, but my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in the infirmities that I have to put up with, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure. Oh! I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses. Oh! For when I've had it, then I'm strong. Because of his grace. Because of his grace. It's all his grace. So we can put up with everything. Because of his grace. His grace. His grace. His grace. I mean his grace. When we get too big for us, his grace doesn't work. He gives grace to the humble. There is no revelation that we can gain from God that makes us a superior to a brother or a sister. It's a revelation that he gives us that we can help to assist our brothers and our sisters to mature, grow up, go beyond where they are and face the battles that are before them. God gives us revelation. He's starting to give us revelation in relation to the end times, which we've heard about for years and years and years, and all the stuff that's been preached from pulpits. And I absolutely enjoy it. But at the end of the day, we can't change that. But we can change people's lives and bring them to Christ. That's what he wants you to do. If he wanted you to be a politician, he would have made you one. If he wanted you to be a Moses, he would have had you born 4,000 years ago, more. If he wanted you to be a Peter, a fisherman in Galilee, if he wanted you to be that, he would have put you in that 2,000 years ago and 10. But he didn't want you there. He wants you here now. For this generation. Generation of old baby boomers.
You speak the truth.
Like me. They said I'm a baby. What's a baby boomer anyway? I'm a baby boomer. What? After the war. There's a war on now. Just born today? I'm ready for what?
The war.
I have a war every day. It's to be here for a generation that's lost. Who is illiterate concerning the Word of God. Who don't have anything to do with church because they don't know what it is. Except now an entertainment center in many places. They don't understand the Bible. Talked to a young guy just recently. I said to him, have you got a Bible? He said, what's that? He said, you don't know what a Bible is? I said, no. I said, actually, it's a Word of God. It's written for me and it's written for you. So that you can understand who you are and understand who he is. I'll get your Bible. Will you read it? We went out of church on a Sunday. We visited a church recent. Preacher got up and after all the entertainment, managed to get 20 minutes in. Over 2 hours. Thought he did well. I thought it was disgusting. Anyway, his challenge was to connect with people outside. That's good. 20 minutes of that won't go amiss. How do you do it? Well, ask Jeff. He'll put it on the slide for you tonight, this afternoon. And he'll help you to appropriate it. We walked down, we went through past a pub. The door was still open. This is about... Maybe it was 11:30, maybe it was 12 o'clock, midday. And this guy singing away in his drunk state, got his guitar smashed down on the ground, sitting out the door, sitting, you know, just kind of out the door, sloppy kind of, sitting down there. I saw 30 people go past him. I thought we just had a message about connecting with people. So I stopped and I sat down with him in the gutter. I said, what are you doing, mate? He said, I've been playing all night and I'm... And I said, well, that's just great. How do you feel? I feel... Would you like to be better? Yeah. Oh, well, you need God for that. Come out. The train's gone. I said, no, there's another train coming. Mate, this glory train. Are you ready for this one? I mean, there's one coming, it's about to come. Let me tell you a bit about Jesus. Let me tell you a bit about hope. I mean, are you awake enough to hear what I got to say here? I mean, are you too drunky? Are you hearing me? I knew he was hearing me because he responded to my questions. So I'm going to go and have some lunch now, bro. Are you okay? I'll be okay. I'll see you on the train, mate. You got to go with R. Don't want them to come to church. You bring them to church. Well, what do you bring them to church for? Well, that's a question. To get them equipped to go and save their mates. And I was in first business, I was in the school, high school grounds. sitting with druggies, drug addicts, who said, would you come and talk, one of them got saved, will you come and talk to my friends in my school? I said, absolutely. I'll talk to your principal, get the okay, got the okay. Went and sat out in the middle of the green. And they came, these ones that just got saved in the church, three or four of them. Then they call all their mates. And within a month, we had 50 young people sitting out here asking questions about God. They don't know who God is. They're looking for the next fix. You've got to go where they are. He said, I've given you the word of reconciliation. Time's gone. God bless you. We're going to sing or something, are we? We're going to sing Amazing Grace. Is that what we were supposed to do? What are we going to do? Well, time's gone. I mean, we've got 7 minutes and lunch is on the table. That's if you're staying for lunch. If you're not, you've got to go home and cook it. So you've got to be back for Jeff, 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock, this man's going to tell you how to do all the stuff that we've learnt this morning. And some. He may even avoid it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Are you all happy? Yeah. It's good to be in the house. Hallelujah. Let's be in the house this afternoon, 2 o'clock tonight at, what time is it tonight? 7 o'clock. Bring somebody. Bring some of the deadbeats off the street. Bring some of the drunks. Bring the blimmin' harlots. Bring the prostitutes. Bring them into the house of God. See them saved by the power of God. And they root singing right over the top of me. We're going to sing this again and we're going to sing the other verses, but firstly, maybe there's somebody here today that you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. You've never seen him, you've never known him. You've never heard about him, or perhaps you've heard about him in some other way, or you've been in some kind of religious church, and somehow you've got some different concept about him and who he is. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, let me tell you this. If you were to die tonight, you were going straight, a straight passage straight through to hell. That means that you'll be separated from God forever. You cannot make a decision beyond this life to accept and to receive Jesus Christ. If you receive him, he says, I'm going to give to you eternal life. He said, I'm going to save you from the consequences of your sin, and I'm going to take away the judgment from your life, and I'm going to give you life abundantly while you still live. Is there anybody here, you've never given your life to Jesus? I'd like to see your hand this morning to say, I want to accept Jesus. Yes, you might have to deny your God, whoever that is. You may have to put down your religion, whatever that is, but you accept Jesus. A new and a living way. This is a new way. This is a living way. This is a resurrection way. This is the resurrection power of Jesus that wants to come into your life. Is there anybody here today? You've never given your life to Christ. This morning, you want to do that. Is there somebody? Is there somebody? I mean, is there somebody here today? Are we all saved here? I feel like an auctioneer. Give me the hammer. Is everybody saved here today? I mean, is everybody saved? We're all saved over here. We're saved over here. We're saved here. You're saved here. Down the back. Are we all saved? You're all saved? Yes. Play the banjo. Absolutely. Are we all saved? I'll conclude this morning. We're all saved. If you're not, you need to be. Come back this afternoon. Talk to Jeff. He'll be a little kinder to you. Or come tonight and the Holy Ghost will bring greater conviction upon your heart because you need him. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Thank you. God bless you.